We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Thursday, August 26th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Foran, and this is Jeff Schwartz with Smarter Than You. We're continuing our season preview with the AFC and NFC South. I guess Matt will do a little bit of that because this is going to be gross. But first, we're going to break down a couple news stories from the past few days and also talk about my new role in society as motivational speaker.
That's right. That's right. It's a big transition for you, Jeff. You're a full-fledged member of the sports media sphere now. Congratulations. I'll explain why. On August 20th, a mere 6 days ago, Jeff, you sent a tweet that said, "The Chiefs need a reliable number two wide receiver. It's a must." Now, they obviously have some guys on their roster. Sammy Watkins gone, but there's some guys on there that some people like in their fantasy drafts and so forth. But it seems one of those aforementioned people really took this one to heart, Jeff. What happened here?
Yeah, so I was in Las Vegas, and I'm watching Chiefs and Cardinals play, and I'm just tweeting about the game as usual, and I tweet out, "The Chiefs need a reliable number two wide receiver. It's a must. It is a must. They need a number two wide receiver. They have a Hill. They have Kelce as a tight end. Need a number two. Plenty of options. Mecole Hardman, Pringle, Robinson. They drafted this kid out of Clemson as well. Didn't get a lot of run, but maybe he's a guy to do this. They had a guy, I think his name was like Sunshine or something. I forget his last name, played really well the other night. They need a number two. They just need to find a reliable number two. And Mecole Hardman took this tweet, by the way, is the most like non-controversial take I've ever had on a player or a position battle, and put it as his Instagram profile picture.
Okay? Profile picture.
Profile picture. That, I'm honored, first of all, that he looks at me like that. That he needs to put that up there. But if we're going by like takes, I mean, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson should have a fat head of my ass on their bedroom wall with all the crap I've said about them. I mean, this is such a small, tiny thing I said. I didn't call him out by name. I didn't like say he sucked. I just said they needed a reliable guy, which is true. In two seasons, Mecole Hardman has had 41 catches and 62 catches. He had 538 yards in year one. 560 yards last season. Okay, good. Let's see a reliable guy. That's it. And maybe he's that guy to do so. But I'm just very glad to be a motivational speaker. But the question I have, Matt, before we get going here on some of these topics, is did he know I was Mitch's brother when he posted this.
This was my exact question. I was going to ask you this. It occurred to me that you've probably met him at some point, right?
No, never met him. No,
never met him, but he definitely has met Mitch.
It's a third year on the team. Last time I saw the team was the Super Bowl, so I was there for that. But it's not like I didn't see the team. Like I didn't like talk to. I mean, I talked to the people I knew there, but didn't talk to Mecole Hardman.
Right. I mean, I think honestly, to that my question is really for you. What he clearly did here was he was like, let me look for a negative media opinion about me, and it's very hard to get anyone to say anything.
It's not even his name. Well, that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't even that harsh. It's not even a criticism. You're basically that could be read in any number of ways. But clearly, he's like looking for bulletin board material about himself, and he was like, "Let me find some douche in the media who clearly doesn't know what they're talking about," and he landed on you. Like, what a change for you to go from like, "Hey, I'm a guy in the league," like. You know, I'm being criticized. Like, people are wondering why I have the contract. And now he's picking you as, like, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, how does that feel?
It feels like I should be paid to tweet more often about this stuff.
There you go.
I'm going to just start tweeting about, like Ryan Jensen, my buddy in the Bucks. You know, I'll just be like, "Hey, Ryan, you're just too fat, buddy." And hopefully that changes the way. Or just, like, start motivational, "Hey, your hand usage is not good on this play, buddy." And just everyone, I'm just motivational Jeff Schwartz. So, hey, man, look, I know we're joking about it, but it is kind of interesting because we talk about this, that players find motivation in many different ways. And look, if I'm motivating him to be the best player he can be, more power to you. I mean, it's an odd motivation. I get it, but plenty of people find motivation, and most often a lot of athletes find motivation in the idea that we're being doubted. I mean, Tom Brady has made a living on this, right? We're being doubted. No one believes in us. So if this helps Mecole Hardman be a better wide receiver, which it just, I giggle so hard thinking about him like sitting at home at night, like, fuck this Jeff Schwartz guy, excuse my language. You know, or fuck Mitch's brother who put this tweet out there. I'm gonna show Jeff that I know how to play football. I can be that reliable guy. Or you know, he's sitting at practice, whatever. It's just like every time he opens an Instagram, he sees my tweet. Like he's gonna say at some point, like, all those words. It's so funny to me.
Rent free, Jeff. You're rent free in Mecole Hardman's head. There's a sentence rent-free. We never thought we'd say.
No, rent free. The last part about this that it will be equally as glorious is trying to explain this to my wife tonight, because I will certainly try to explain this to her. Matt, you know my wife. It's not going to go very well for her. So I'm looking forward to figuring out how to tell her that this is what happened. I don't think she'll get it, but it'll be fun to tell her tonight.
That's great. I'm enjoying thinking about you explaining this to her and her being like, "Why do you think I care about this?"
Like, she doesn't care. Yeah. Does not care at all. But, and she'll be like, "Wait, you tweeted something that was on, it went to someone's Instagram? And like, what, why'd you tweet about
that? Walk us through the tech here. Like, is there a screenshot involved?"
It's so great. So, hey, I'm getting more Instagram followers as we speak, which I'm continuing trying to grow my Instagram out.
Humble brag.
Hey man, I am just now a full-on motivational speaker. So you guys get to see my rise through this podcast into becoming the next, is it Tony Robbins?
Yeah.
Like the next motivational speaker.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
you two are like the same size.
You know what's funny, Matt? It's like I am like extremely anti-motivational, like quote and speaker person. Like I the people that wake up in the morning and tweet out like just the most
rise and grind.
Oh, God. Like, it's just, I'm the anti because I've always been self-motivated, which I know not everyone is. So, like, I don't listen to any motivational, like, I just, it does not, like, before a game, when everyone's in that big huddle, right? And they're like, "Come on," I'm like, outside the huddle. Like, it does nothing for me.
Sitting down.
If Ray Lewis was talking in the huddle, I'd be like, I'm gonna go sit down. Like, it does nothing for me. So, the fact that this tweet is something that he now has on his Instagram profile, I mean, every time it was Instagram, it's my tweet he's seeing. So good for you, Hardman. I hope you have the best season of your life.
Welcome to the media, Jeff.
And if you do I get like a cut of that money? Like if you get paid, man, I feel like I should deserve some of that money.
Maybe. I think you should draft him in your fantasy drafts, even though you suck at fantasy.
I did just join a fantasy league. I got asked to do one. It was $100, and I said I've wasted $100 in worse ways.
Oh, yeah. So preseason WNBA, in. Like you've probably got more than that.
I'm in.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that. We have so much more to get to, so I'm going to move us on to a topic that, like, I frankly just don't really understand. So maybe you can help break it down here. So obviously, Tuesday, the ACC, Pac-12, and the Big Ten have announced something, that they've formed some kind of alliance to, quote, stabilize a volatile environment in college sports. But basically, it just seems like this is an anti-SEC move to sort of consolidate their remaining power and not get left out. Am I getting that right? What's the important takeaway from this deal?
That they don't like the SEC conference. Like, I mean, there's not an important takeaway other than they're trying to delay playoff expansion. And they're trying to push back on the SEC dominating all of college football. So you're right. The Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC got together, formed an alliance that is, there's no signed agreement. There's no promise of scheduling each other really right now, because most schedules are locked in for the next couple of years. There's no promise that an institution won't leave. There's no promise they're going to work together to have a TV deal as a component of three. There's nothing other than, hey, this is our desire to work together to build college football in the vision that we might want. And most importantly, it comes down to a couple of things, I think. One is the playoffs. So right now, ESPN owns the rights to the playoffs. They own the rights to the semis and the championship, right? As that all we have right now are the four teams, so semis and championships. They don't own the rights to any other playoff expansion. However, the thought process is, if we expand to 12 teams before 2026, when the TV deals are up, then ESPN's going to own all the rights to all of the playoff games. Well, if you're the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the Big 12, who have contract with Fox, Fox wants a piece of that, right? CBS wants a piece of that. NBC wants a piece of that. Same as we have with the NFL, where on opening weekend, there's games on four networks, right? Four networks. So they want, this working group wants, in my opinion, wants college football to be pieced out for the playoffs to different entities to make as most money as possible. But again, nothing's on paper. So tomorrow, if SEC calls Clemson and Ohio State and it's like, hey, do you want to join our conference? They might go, right? So it was very much a press conference to just talk about a press release they put out, because there's nothing they gave us other than, we want to work together. You look in a man's eyes and you shake his hand, and that's your word. Yeah, in a fairy tale land, that's your word. But as soon as things are different, people will move on. So I think it's just a reaction to what Oklahoma, Texas did. But again, it's more about TV rights, a little bit of scheduling, which they might do in the next couple of years, but trying to put on a forward face of, hey, we're attacking this quote-unquote problem head on, instead of having kind of five different factions fighting it out.
Is it weird to you that it feels like college football, the only storylines that anyone's hearing about in college football right now are like business related? It's like the NIL, the sponsorships, yeah. Like it's this weird realignment stuff with Texas, Oklahoma, and now this weirdo alliance. Like it just feels, it feels like more like a business than the NFL does, which is like obviously like the opposite of what it should be. I'm just curious, like, what do you think happens as a result of this, if anything, or is it too early to tell?
Well, I think it's too early to tell, but your point is really interesting about how we're hearing all the business of college football now. Well, one is the Supreme Court ruling that allowed, that too, really paved the way for name, engine like this, right? Yep. But secondly, Matt, is that NFL preseason, practices are open to the media. They have to be. They're required to be open to the media. Fans are at these practices. There's three preseason games, and we're getting to the last week of the preseason games. So we get to see the teams play and see the personnel and watch practice and see practice clips. Most colleges have no media access except for the first like 15 minutes, which are all individual drills. So it's mostly a mystery of what's happening at training camp. We get nuggets here and there. There's quarterback battles that we don't know about till someone actually announced. Trevor Lawrence was announced a starter today. Duh, right? Like, right? But on the college side, we're seeing Ohio State announce a starter. We're seeing Utah announce a starter. Like, we just don't have a lot of actual football to talk about until we get to week zero this week and really into week one next week. So that's why I think there's just a lot of talk about NIL and transfer rules and now this issue with kind of the business of football, because we just don't get access to training camp.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
One last point too. College football is very regionalized, right? Like it's much bigger in the South than it is anywhere else. And so you're not getting college football as a national topic very often. A lot of these shows that kind of drive the narrative of what we talk about in the media all day, right? If you're a morning drive time radio host, a national radio host, this doesn't play in a lot of places. No one wants to hear about these. They want to hear about Dak Prescott and Hard Knocks first thing in the morning, right? Like they're not there to hear about the alliance that really didn't do anything, right? If you're on a morning talk show, you're talking about, again, the NFL and Cam Newton, Mac Jones. Are you talking about a deal of, so it's very regionalized. And that's why I think it doesn't kind of maybe get, it's just the attention is different than it does for the NFL. Yeah. Put it like that.
And I also think, you know, not to dwell too long on this, but it's for a while, we've had just such a steady group at the top that, you know, it does feel like if you're following college football, you're like, all right, so it's probably going to be Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and, you know, a few others.
Too, yeah.
And then everybody else, it's like your team, your conference, whatever that you follow. But I just feel like it's college football has just taken a strange shape lately. I'm hopeful that this season, you know, there's so much fun stuff that happens that it sort of outweighs all of the other stuff that's happening. Definitely a weird time for the sport.
Are you excited for your Terrapins? Maybe Oregon and Maryland have a home and home.
I was going to say, yeah, definitely. I think that would be a good one. Maryland, once when I was there, they had a home and home with Cal, and
my brother played in that game.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah.
It was a 12 Eastern kick because it was a 9 a.m. body clock game for the Cal started slow and they ended up winning that game though, unfortunately.
No, they didn't. They beat us in California, but we beat Cal in Maryland, and Javid Best got hit so hard he threw up. And I was sitting really close and saw him get hit and he barfed on the field.
Yeah, he had his career could have been so much better.
I know. He was one of the best college players I watched.
We're just brutal, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly though. Nerl Nolan's. I'm sorry, buddy.
Nerlens like, Noel. You don't, yeah.
What'd I say?
All right, let's just hit it. So Nerlens Noel. We're not a basketball podcast, as you all well know, but Nerlens Noel is suing Rich Paul of Clutch Sports for $58 million of lost earnings, claiming that Rich Paul, who is LeBron's agent, did little to no work to secure contracts and sponsorships for Nerlens Noel. Now, he alleges that Rich Paul ignored calls from teams interested in signing Noel and gave preferential treatment to other clients like LeBron James or Ben Simmons or Anthony Davis or whomever who are bigger stars. You had some thoughts on this. What do you got?
Well, I feel sorry that he feels that he got swindled, and I feel sorry that he didn't get the contract he deserved. But you changed agents, buddy. Like, that's on you. I don't know. What is your lawsuit? What are you going to get out of it? Like, am I allowed to sue my agent every time I don't get the deal I want? You know, like I don't know. What is recourse here? I mean, he chose a different agent. Rich Paul didn't work for him as well as he thought. And he didn't get the deal he wanted. That's on him.
Is this a thing that, I mean, I guess maybe the right follow up here is like, well, what's a reasonable expectation for in the NFL or in pro sports in general for what your agent is supposed to do? And like, I don't know, why would you make a change and then have something like this happen and then say like, well, it's the agent's fault? Like, is that actually true?
Well, I mean, a lot of players do feel it's the agent's fault when they don't get what they deserve. Obviously, it's tough to know exactly what calls they did or did not have, which is what he's blaming, right? He didn't do the work. He didn't call enough. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. You want to find that agent who can do that for you. And seeing, by the way, that Nerlens had an agent he liked,
right,
who he got along with. And he left him and went to Paul. Like, that's on you, man. Like, did you... So, you know, in the NFL, there's a lot of big agencies, right? A lot of big agents. And one of them is very good at getting his guys a lot of money, but the rest of his guys don't get a lot of money. Like, he's only good for the top of the guys. That's what he is. It's what he does. He doesn't pay attention to anything else, okay? I feel like Paul's in that kind of boat, right? Like, yep. He's going to get his top guys money, and if you're not one of those top guys, he's just not of interest to him. And that's your fault. I've chosen agents in my career, whether on the football side and most recently on the broadcast side, who I know will fight for me. And they fought for me along the way. And trust me, I feel bad he didn't get the money he thinks he deserved or he would have gotten. But you chose to fire the agent you liked for promises by Paul. I'm sure Paul thought he could get you a big deal. And when he didn't, he just didn't work as hard. I don't know how that's grounds to sue. We'll find out if this suit goes forward. But to me, this is just a situation where the consequence of you changing agents, you didn't like it, and you're trying to sue to make up for it.
Yeah, it's an interesting slippery slope scenario here, because every single, you know, person who's represented by an agent, which is actors and businesses and athletes, all think that their agent could be doing more for them. Nerlens Noel may be right, but it's also Nerlens Noel, you know? So I don't know. It's an interesting one to flag. But yeah, I think, you know, poor Nerlens, I guess us wondering why he screwed this up. Maybe Jeff, you'll be featured in his Instagram profile picture as well.
I hope so. That's my new column. Yeah,
maybe it is. All right, Jeff, should we get to the part of this that we're maybe a little bit good at, which is the division previews for the NFC and AFC South?
Let's do it. And look, to start off, we'll go over the ground rules, which is we have $1,000 to spend each division. We have some leftover money off to the side that we've spent if we feel like the $1,000 per division is not enough. I think we spent $1,500 of that. I'll be upfront with you. As Matt and I are preparing for this, the South, these divisions suck for this, okay? We're going to go through all the teams anyways, go through the rosters, go through win totals, props, over-unders, the same as we normally do. But finding enough bets is going to be tough. I'm telling you guys now. But I hope you enjoy them. I'm not telling you not to listen. Please continue to listen. But this is going to be tougher than the other ones we did.
Yeah, it's not our fault that the Colts and the Texans and the Falcons are boring as hell. Like, we still got to make bets on them. So let's fly. Why don't we start, Jeff, with the AFC, if that's okay.
Go ahead, buddy.
So in the AFC, we do this. And by the way, we've done two other versions of this with the East and the North, right, was the last one we did. So check those out if you haven't already. We'll move on today through the South. We're going to go in order of the projected win totals and just move down the list. So the team that is projected to do the best in the AFC South is the Tennessee Titans. Not a big surprise there. Their win total at DraftKings is only 9, juiced pretty heavy to the over, -160 to bet the over, +130 to bet the under, -115 to win the division, and -300 to make the playoffs, +225 to miss. Jeff, any reason why you don't see the Titans winning this division?
None. I mean, I don't necessarily like their defense. I think they've done a decent job of bringing in pieces to really help them. I mean, Elijah Molden has done a good job so far in the preseason. I don't know how he dropped that far. They drafted Caleb Farley as well to help them at cornerback. And so they added Bud Dupree from Pittsburgh. So defense should be better, right? Offensively, they lose Arthur Smith, which I'm really worried about, right? Because as much as you can say, hey, we're just going to run back the same sort of offense we've had, that changes with the OC. It's a very run-heavy play-action-pass offense, but Ryan Tannehill can throw the rock. Like, he doesn't need that offense to throw the rock. So I'm curious, you know, about the design of the offense, how many rushes Derrick Henry will have over his career. I mean, he's had a lot of them so far. But I think they're the pick here to win the division just because I'm not betting on Carson Wentz. And Jacksonville, we'll get to them in a second. I mean, Urban might quit tomorrow. And then can the Texans even field a team this year? So I'd put, you know, 250, 300, 400, 500 on Tennessee Titans division champs.
So would I. No argument here. I think that people are a little bit hesitant to buy into the Titans because they have two new coordinators. You mentioned Smith already. Last year they had some serious luck in like the close games, the turnovers. And they lost a lot of guys, but they replaced everybody kind of thoughtfully. Like, you lose Corey Davis, you get Julio Jones. You lose, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, you get Bud Dupree. You lose, yeah, so Malcolm Butler, Janoris Jenkins. Like, it all makes sense. I just think that yes, they might regress, but with the extra game, I doubt that they're going from 11 wins to under 9. Obviously, the number's not really in our favor, so let's go. I like them to win the division. And I did want to flag this player prop here. I actually don't think it would be Derrick Henry that did this year. But the question, there's a prop out there at DraftKings. Will any player break the regular season rushing record? The record is 2,100 yards, just about a little bit over. It's plus 700 for yes. I kind of felt like this was mispriced. I'm curious what you think about that, because with the extra game, I feel like this is a little bit more achievable than it was any other season.
How far away was he last year?
Henry last year got to 2,000. So when you look at the list of like the all timers, it's rare that someone repeats, which sounds obvious, but like the year after Eric Dickerson went for the rushing record, like that was 84. He doesn't appear anywhere close in 85. The next year he got to 19th all time. It's very rare that someone goes in the top 20 and then repeats. If you look at the list, it's just like one name 20 different times, almost. So I kind of have some doubts that it would be Henry. Last year, if he had one extra game, he would have broken it. But couldn't you see it with McCaffrey this year, maybe? Or couldn't you see it with Dalvin Cook or somebody, Ezekiel Elliott, who just gets a lot of volume?
I mean, look, it's possible that Derrick Henry is just different than everyone else, right? And then the amount of reps at that position doesn't take a toll on his body like it would someone else. But I'm just so fearful of the pace he's at and the carries he's at that just wear down his body, right? And when it happens for a running back, it happens kind of fast, right? Like they don't really age very gracefully. And again, I'm not saying he's gonna just fall off the map. I mean, he had almost 400 rushes last season.
Yeah.
Including receiving, which is not a big part of his game. He had 397 touches last season.
Yep.
That is a lot. Now you add another game onto this. Like, so I don't know. I don't think it's, I just can't put it on. I can't put my money on Henry for that.
I agree. I don't think it's Henry. And as producer Hank notes, 681 touches the last 2 years, which is crazy. Just the regular season. But if you do the average, so last year he averaged 126 yards a game. This, to break the record, you only need 123 yards a game if you do the math out through the 17 games. So I kind of feel like someone could do it. Maybe Christian McCaffrey, who we'll get to in the NFC South. But I kind of like that one as a dart throw for plus 700, don't you?
Possibly. But I just think we're throwing away money with that.
Yeah, we probably are. I have a habit of doing that.
Like that's part of it. Is like, I mean, I'm fine with taking some long odds, but I have to have an inkling that it's going to happen. You just laid all the reasons it won't happen.
True. Well, let's put that in our hats. I think it's a good, maybe a better conversation topic than an actual bet. The team that I think I'm least excited to talk about in the entire league is the Indianapolis Colts, who managed to get more boring every season. They're also projected for 9 wins. Their over is even money. Their under is minus 120, plus 150 to win the division, minus 225 to make the playoffs, plus 175 to miss. Where to begin with this team?
So I follow Stephen Holder, who covers the team. It's @HolderStephen. This is what he tweeted out about the Colts today. So he said, "I'll share with you guys what I shared with colleagues in the media room. I think Colts can be very good this season. I'm buying it. Defense is good. Offense line is good. Skill position is good. Quarterback, good enough. The fact is the Colts only have themselves for losing that playoff game last year, which we agree upon. So I'm kind of paraphrasing this. He goes, anyways, you guys know me. I don't go blowing smoke up your butt. This is really an honest assessment. They have a really tough early schedule, but I think they have enough. So I'm generally in agreement, right? Defense is good. Offensive line is good. But I'm not buying this Carson Wentz thing, right? And here's why. So if you look at the development and history of quarterbacks, very rarely, if ever, does a quarterback go from being the worst in the league to anything better than average, right? I mean, going up 15, 16 spots is an incredible jump in one season. Josh Allen just did that, right, essentially. And it's like the greatest accomplishment we've seen in quarterback from year 2 to 3 in the history, right? Like, look at Wentz's career. 2017 is the outlier season when he's far and away better and third down and in the red zone than he was at any point in his career. So if Carson Wentz gets to average, Matt, average, that's what Philip Rivers was last year.
Yep.
Is average, right? Like, they're not going to get where they think they're going to get with an average Carson Wentz. Now take into account that he missed almost the entire preseason. So new offense, new team. He's going to come back week one, it seems like, without having almost any practice, on a hobbled foot in a new offense, and just hit the ground running quickly. And they're going to just come out the gate with Seattle, who, that's one of my, I liked him at +3. I don't like him so much at -3.5, whatever the number is now for week one. But like, I just don't see Carson Wentz being better than Philip Rivers was last year. And therefore this team, to me, 8, 9, 10 wins is about where I think they're going to be at. So I'm not making a wager on the Colts here. I think that Carson Wentz props, which aren't really out yet because we don't know if he's playing or not, so it's kind of hard to bet on those. If you can find a Carson Wentz under yards, under touchdowns, I would lean in that direction, Matt.
I would too. You mentioned Wentz not having a lot of lead-up time. Neither will this offensive line. Eric Fisher coming off the injury, obviously. Quentin Nelson coming off a preseason injury. Ryan Kelly has missed some time too. This is one of the most injured teams in the league at key spots, and the season hasn't even started, and their bye is in week 14. Like, the odds are just not stacked up in their favor. You mentioned their tough schedule. Seattle, Rams, at Tennessee, at Miami, at Baltimore on Monday Night Football, home for Houston, but they have a short week for that, at San Francisco, home for Tennessee for their first eight. Yeah. That is brutal. And that's not a time where they can like get their sea legs with a new quarterback and a new offensive line. Everyone pencils that O-line in as the best in the league. I think I actually may have picked them in our positions draft, but that's like a serious issue with all the injuries. So I don't know if I like them under 9, but I do like them to miss the playoffs +175. I think that's the way to play this.
So here's an interesting counter to maybe miss the playoffs is, I feel like you could actually get better value after that 8-game stretch for them to make the playoffs. Like, if you wait for that 8-game stretch, they're 3-5 in the 8-game stretch. Or maybe, Matt, they're even better and you're like, oh, okay, they're better, they'll make the playoffs. These divisions are tough to like trust a team outside of Tampa, and we'll get to NFC in a second. I'm okay with no +175, right? Is that what you want to go with?
I like that. Like, are they better than Pittsburgh? Are they better than Baltimore? Are they better than the Patriots?
Yeah,
than the Dolphins? Like,
yes. Yeah, so we're looking at who's going to make the last wild card spot, right? If we think Tennessee's going to win the division.
Chargers, like,
yeah. No, you're right.
It's a lot of. I mean, if we like Tennessee to win it, then they're competing for a wild card against either Pittsburgh or Baltimore, the Patriots or the Dolphins or the Chargers. And like, you know, there's always one other team that comes out of nowhere.
Okay, I'll put that in for 250. I'll buy that.
All right,
you've convinced me. I just want
to root against them, man. They're so boring.
I'll take that bet.
So you did there.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the next team here, which is just dumpster fire upon dumpster fire.
Yeah, Jacksonville is that team, although Houston could also qualify as such. Jacksonville's win total is 6.5, split evenly on the over and the under, +650 to win the division, which I know is going to get a lot of sucker bets, +140 to make the playoffs. Doesn't feel like good enough odds, -175 to miss. Trevor Lawrence was named the starter today, Jeff. Does that make a difference for you?
No, and the wager to make here is them to miss the playoffs at -175. That I actually bet this personally at a much higher number the other night because they're not making the playoffs, guys. Here's the thing about the preseason. So we've gotten to the point where it's like now we've gone the opposite direction of where the preseason means nothing, right? Forever it was like we overvalued the preseason, and now we undervalue the preseason, I feel like, right? So here's the things that you can take away from the preseason. Yes. Ones versus twos, twos versus ones, you have to take into account who you're playing against, okay? So if someone's playing well against the twos, that doesn't really mean they're going to play well against the ones, but it's a good start to play well against the twos. You can look at process, okay? I talked about the Arizona Cardinals, right? They needed to improve their offense, and their offense looked exactly the same the other night. Like, the process looked exactly the same. Jacksonville's process on offense is just brutal. Like, their play design, the lack of creativity, the lack of putting Trevor Lawrence in good spots. And then Urban Meyer, he's a college coach. Like, he's not used to losing, okay? He's not, even in the preseason, he looks miserable out there. His body, he doesn't hold back his body language. Their offensive line is better than they showed the other night because a lot of starters didn't play. But And I like Chenault. I like James Robinson. I mean, they have some playmakers on offense. Defense, not as talented. Travis Etienne now, who they wasted that first-round pick on, out for the season. I think not make the playoffs at 175, Matt. It's a little bit of juice. That's the best bet here.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the under. This has got to be one of the most – the biggest question marks in the league. This is definitely one of them, what their goal is. I mean, the thing about Jacksonville that's so confusing to me is the top five teams that spent the most money this offseason, Jeff: Buffalo, San Francisco, New England, Seattle, and Jacksonville. Like, what exactly did they get? They got Marvin Jones. They got, like, some pieces in the secondary, but they didn't walk out of free agency with, like, you know, a blue chipper anywhere. You mentioned their defense. Josh Allen was, like, a very highly regarded pick a year or two ago. Hasn't really turned into anything. That whole defense is a mess. I could see this. I could see Urban pulling a Nick Saban on us here. It's just which way you want to go in terms of how they're going to disappoint. I think the under is pretty good, because you're getting better odds, but I'm fine either way.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is, I think they beat the Texans twice. Like, I think there's wins possibly on their schedule. And also, too, if they figure it out at some point throughout the season with Trevor Lawrence, they could rattle off a couple wins here that we kind of unexpected wins. And so that's what I worry about with taking – Yeah. I mean, I'm fairly certain they're not. I mean, they gotta have a season that is,
yeah,
unbelievable to make the play. I'm good with laying the 175 on this one.
Okay, I'm fine with that too. Trevor Lawrence could turn into Andrew Luck and prove us all wrong.
And
that would be great. Like, I'd be fine to miss that bet and have them be entertaining.
Yeah. All right, we got one team left in the South. If we spend more than 37 seconds on them, we're probably doing you guys a disservice.
Yeah, it's Houston. Win totals 4, plus 3,000 to win the division, plus 500 to make the playoffs. Anything here?
No. The easy pick is the under, obviously. They're a dumpster fire. We don't know if Watson's going to play or not play. No talent really on the roster. Brand new coaching staff. Isn't the play here Texans go 0-17 plus 2,000?
I mean, the Watson thing actually makes me kind of feel like the play, unfortunately, would be the over. It's like, if he plays 3 games, then they go 2-1, and they have to win 2 other games.
Is he going to play this year, though?
Who knows? Like, well, I think it's kind of weird that we're assuming he's not. Like, he's on the team. They're doing this weird thing of, like, oh, well, maybe we'll trade him, and, you know, there's interest out there. It's like, what if they do trade him? And what if they get back Tua? And then all of a sudden, like, yeah, it's something. I don't know. I just don't feel like – I don't think that Deshaun Watson's going to sit on their roster and not play or not get traded unless this legal thing takes a course that it probably should. But, like, we've seen this with the NFL a lot where someone's in hot water and then you look up and they're like, huh, like, that player's just, like, back and nothing seems to have happened. That's kind of strange. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like you could sneaky get a little value taking the over here, but why? Like, why would anyone want to do that?
I think that's a really good thought, actually, right? Is everyone's going to bet the under, right? So I think the number's even moved. But if Watson does play half a season, I mean, they're going to get enough wins because he's that good.
If he plays 5 games, then they probably hit this. Like, or they at least push it. Like, honestly, yeah. he's that talented.
Yeah. I would just stay away from the Texans. We have a little bit of money left to spend this division.
I mean, we can roll it and, over because,
what about Tennessee, Indy to finish top 2 in division minus 200? Too much juice?
Yeah, too much. Do you trust Carson Wentz?
No, I don't. But then again, I mean, but then if they don't finish that way, then Jacksonville is, you know, then we might be screwed out of that playoff bet. But we'll see.
I'm very happy to leave this division behind, Jeff, and move on to the Super Bowl champs.
Boom. And there it is. Wireless on the most reliable network nationwide.
That's cool. But with my wireless, I get unlimited for just $30.
Impressive. But does yours have 5G included?
Of course. And my wireless saves me $400 a year.
That's because you all have Xfinity Mobile with your internet. It's wireless so good, it keeps one-upping itself.
$30 per line per month, taxes and fees extra, compares pricing of top carriers, Xfinity internet required, reduced speeds after 20 gigabits of usage per line, most reliable based on RootMetrics U.S. report, results vary, not an endorsement.
Let's get to to Tampa Bay.
Let's do that. So little money left over. Maybe we'll use it here. The Bucks. Everybody's coming back. Win total 12. Evenly split on the over and the under. Minus 110. Minus 200 to win the division. Minus 700 to make the playoffs. Plus 500 if you want to bet on some injuries for them to miss. What do you think? Over 12?
Yeah. And this one feels not stealing, but a little easy, right? So we talked about last year they were going to start slow. I nailed this take, right? They're going to start slow. Now, they were a little slower than I thought. But then, you know, after the bye, boom, they were off. They play in a division with Atlanta and Carolina, who we don't know what they're going to be this year.
Saints, too.
New Orleans is going to start Jameis, most likely. And, you know, they'll be okay with Jameis, but probably not good enough to be a playoff team. And remember, they get a second-place schedule this year because they were the second-place team in the South. So they kind of get, you know, they get an easier way to navigate the season. And looking at their schedule, I mean, look, Dallas obviously week one. Dak Prescott is hopefully healthy, ready to go. But then you have Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford in his third game, Cam, Tua, Hurts, Dalton, I guess, Winston, Fitz, Jones, Wentz, Ryan, Josh Allen, right? Winston, Darnold, Wilson, Darnold. Like, they're going to win over 12 games.
Dude, I'm with you. Everyone's talked about the continuity. We have nothing special to say about that, but I don't recall a team bringing back every single important piece from a Super Bowl winning team ever, including the coaches. Like, it's crazy that a Byron Leftwich or whomever didn't get that. To get a head coaching job somewhere. Last year, like, watching the Bucks all season, you know, the reason that people like us were a little slow kind of getting behind them for the playoffs was you never knew what team was going to show up every week. And that was like their big downfall. Is some weeks, you know, the offense would sputter, the defense would kind of carry them. Some weeks the offense would light up and the defense was seemingly nowhere to be found. They were a really inconsistent team. Football Outsiders had them for more and sharp, they finished 32nd in the variance metric last season. So every game it was, you just didn't know what was coming, but they still went 11-5. So if you assume that they kind of steady this ship, that Brady's age doesn't take too much of a toll, which, like, let's be honest, when's that going to happen? I think that this feels like a pretty solid over 12. The Bucks also have only won 12 games one time in the franchise history. That feels like a thing Tom Brady knows and wants to change, especially with the extra game. So I could see them rolling off 12-5 or 13-4 without even that much of a stretch.
Tom Brady MVP plus 1,400. What do you think?
Wow.
I mean, I think it's Pat Mahomes to lose. But, huh. I mean, if the Bucks go 14-3... And Tom Brady just beats us himself. Like, we passing up on throwing $100 on that? We still have $250 left over from the other division.
I do like that. I like that as our roll it over. That's pretty fun.
Right? I mean, I just think it's worth it, right? I mean, he's plus 1,400, you put $100 on that?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I'm good with that.
Leading the league in passing touchdowns for plus 500. That one's kind of
that feels. I guess if he wins the MVP, he gets that. He wins that one too.
Yeah,
right?
But let's,
I feel like we pick one or the other.
Yep. Let's take the odds. I could see it if it's one of those seasons where like three or four guys kind of deserve it, but Brady goes 14-3 and has an incredible season. They'll just give it to him as the cherry on top.
Yes.
I like that. I like that one a lot. Yeah, love the Bucks this year. They're going to be super fun to watch. The rest of this division is a total question mark, in my opinion.
Yes, yes, agreed.
The Saints are the next up. Their win total is at 9. It's plus 100 to take the over, minus 120 for the under, plus 350 to win the division, plus 110 to make the playoffs, minus 130 to miss. Interesting. Jameis Winston, are you buying this? What's going on?
Well, Winston's going to start for them. I'm buying he has a better season than most think. It was hard to find Winston touchdown props. I feel like anything you get about anything over 30, like I think there's a great wager. If you can get, I don't know what the number is going to be because he's not officially starting it, so I haven't put a number up yet. I mean, I think it's going to, I think his number would be around, I mean, he's thrown 22, 28, 19, 19, 33. I feel like his number is going to be around 30. I would take the over on Winston touchdowns if he plays the entire season. Saints have the best offensive line in football. They have a great offensive line. They don't have as many wide receiving weapons as you would hope with Thomas kind of beat up, right? Defensively, they can rush the pass. They're good. They can secondary, right, with Lattimore. They're going to be good on defense. It's just offensively, you know, can Winston not turn the ball over? And are they going to have some young wide receivers step up? We saw Marquise Callaway have a great preseason game the other night. Obviously, again, preseason, can he carry that over? So I would take Winston over for touchdowns, which we don't have on our sheet, so I can't really give you an actual bet to take there. But the Alvin Kamara rushing yards over 945 it's plus 100. That would be career high for him by about 15 yards. That feels pretty decent, or really actually the best one might be Kamara rushing plus receiving over 1500 when he's had scrimmage yards over 1500 three of his four seasons.
I like that one. That's an interesting play. My point of view on the Saints basically is they have got to hit bottom at some point. That you're right about the offensive line, but we've seen this with some quarterbacks where it's like, oh, like Tom Brady's gone. All of a sudden the offensive line doesn't look so good. I could see that happening with Drew Brees, who is like very much a timing quarterback and, you know, got rid of the ball kind of early. I could see the offensive line kind of regressing with the Jameis Winston experience. Remember that the exact thing happened in Tampa where the offensive line was whatever, and then they draft Tristan Wirfs and Tom Brady comes and it became one of the best in the league. The Saints D every year seems to thrive on just like having dudes to roll out there. It doesn't seem like that's the case anymore. They have a lot of young guys, rookies, undrafted guys. They lost a lot of names. They just don't have the depth that they usually do. Look, this isn't the Saints' year. Michael Thomas, you mentioned, it just doesn't feel like the pieces are all there for them to go and make some run. Nine is pretty low, but I would fade the Saints. I would say that, you know, I don't really like any of the numbers here, but I'm just not in on them this year.
I think that the point you made about things kind of can fall apart sometimes when the quarterback leaves, right? So this offense has gotten by without having really, you know, an excellent group of wide receivers. It's hard to find a really prolific passing offense without a couple, not just one wide receiver, right? We know Thomas is very good. Now that Thomas is hurt, and I don't think he's starting the season, right? I think he's not starting the season.
Right.
And what does this offense become with not having Drew Brees in it, right? To kind of make up the difference in quick passing, getting the ball out quickly, getting the ball into guys' hands. So to me, without Brees, I think the story is the offense and really the skill position players aren't going to thrive. And that does worry me as far as wagering anything on the Saints, other than I think Kamara will be the outlet for Winston. I think Kamara will have a big season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a play I'd be willing to make for sure. But yeah, you're right. I mean, without Michael Thomas, like, cool highlights of Callaway and Winston in the preseason. Like, let's see that when they have to go to Tampa Bay and win a game. Like, I just don't see it.
I'm with you there. All right, we got two more teams, and I couldn't give you anything on this. I have no idea.
Your favorite team every year, the Falcons. What do you? Let's see. They're 7.5. People seem to like them. I don't get why they're minus 135 to go over, plus 115 to go under, plus 900 to win the division, plus 190 to make the playoffs, minus 240 to miss. You got nothing, huh?
I mean, what are they, right? So Arthur Smith comes over from Tennessee, and I really like what he did in Tennessee. But he's now a head coach, and we've heard nothing from them, which I actually think is good, right? Kind of not hear anything happening.
Their starters haven't played at all,
which again is pretty silly to me. But you know, offensive line, I mean, some concerns there as they're trying to rebuild their way through the offensive line. They drafted two guys this year. We'll see how much run Drew Dolman and Jalen Mayfield get. Obviously, we know with Ridley and Russell Gage and with Kyle Pitts and the weapons they have. Also Hayden Hurst as well. They're going to be, I think they're going to be good on offense. Like, I think Matt Ryan will have a really big season. I don't know if we have Matt Ryan props on the board here, but I feel like Matt Ryan might have one of his better seasons in his career. He's with a really competent OC. It's a lot like Shanahan's offense when he had that breakout year. But defensively, you know, they can't be any worse, which we understand, right? But I don't know what they are defensively. And that's my concern about really any wager here. I mean, Dean Pease is their defense. Great. He's been a long time DC for a lot of years. But they haven't developed talent there. And I know they have a new coach. And I got to see them develop the talent before I decide I'm in the Falcons. Again, I think offensively, they could be really good. Really good. And I'd be willing to, if we can find Matt Ryan props, which again is hard to do with some of these. There's not like one centralized place where it's like, find gambling props for us. There's not like a centralized centralized place. But to me, Matt Ryan feels like if we could find a number on him, would be the way to go here.
I guess. That's interesting. I have a different player prop read, which I'll get to, but I just think
I'm curious what it's at here. It's at 44.50 for Matt Ryan, which will put him less than last
yards that, a game.
So that's, I mean, how many a game?
260-ish.
I mean, he's been over that for three straight seasons. Before that, he was over that for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons.
It doesn't seem like they have a backup to play when things go bad,
he's
right?
He's been over that number, over 260 a game, like by far over 260 a game, every year but one in the last nine.
I like that. I'd be open to that. He also doesn't miss games generally, knock on wood. Yeah, I'd be open to that. I think
I just don't have a number. Oh, it's over 150. It's over 115. Excuse me, minus 115. Sorry.
I'm willing to put minus that in the mix. Some general thoughts on them. It seems like everyone thinks Atlanta's problems were coaching related. That's obviously true, but their roster is worse. Like a lot of the few talented guys who they had last year, a lot of them are gone. They were also weirdly like pretty healthy last year. Julio was the one who obviously wasn't, but like even Todd Gurley was healthy last season. So it's a little bit hard to project that they'll get that lucky again. It just doesn't feel like this team's trying that hard to win this year, which is always a flag of like, hey, maybe go under here.
I disagree there. I actually think they are because they drafted Kyle Pitts. Like if they weren't going to try to win this year, they would have not drafted a quarterback, in my opinion. Well, then, I mean, they would have drafted a quarterback, in my opinion.
Then they would have signed a running back better than Mike Davis. They would have signed, you know,
yeah, but that,
they
but
would
that,
have built up back, that defense a little bit more.
But I don't think the running back, again, we talk about this all the time, like I'm not really betting on running backs being the reason why I like or dislike a team.
Fine, but like if you look at their roster construction as a whole, like you got Matt Ryan
I'm with you
making
there.
A ton
I'm
of
with
money.
You, there.
You got Jake Matthews, who's not worth the price that he has. You know, they have these guys on defense. Their next three top paid guys are Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, Dante Fowler. Then it's Pitts. And then from there, it's like a bunch of kind of whatever guys, like other than Ridley. You look at the rest of their team and there's like no standout household names on this whole squad. It feels like they're kind of waiting to get through this sort of contract flotsam that they have from leftover from the Super Bowl era still. And I don't think, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Arthur Smith to deliver right away. I think this is sort of like a bridge between this era and the next. I do think Smith, you know, we've seen it with his offense in Tennessee that he can maximize what he's got. I really like two players on their offense. I think Mike Davis is going to go crazy this year. There's nobody behind him that's going to steal carries in any situation. And like, this comparison's unfair, but like as a runner, you know, him and Derrick Henry are both kind of big dudes who are going to make one downhill move and just go. I think he might have a pretty good season, but
what do you have for him?
I don't have anything for him, but I do have something for Kyle Pitts. So Kyle Pitts to break the rookie tight end's receiving yards record is plus 300, which doesn't seem very favorable, but it's less than 1100 yards is the record. It's 1076. So when you actually do the math there, Jeff, it's 64 yards a game would be enough for him to break that record. Ridley is the only other guy who's going to get targets on that whole team. I think they're going to just give him the rock constantly.
I'm with you there. Like Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts, over break rookie touch. Okay, so plus I'm good there. Do you want to play that?
Yeah, let's play that. I think that's a fun one.
Okay. So that's it. What's the juice on that one
plus
here?
Plus 300.
Oh, plus 300. I like it. Okay. Because we have that rollover money from the other one still.
So let's do that.
Plus 300. So let's put 150 on that one because we have the Mike Davis, by the way, is 805 rushing yards. Is that a good number for you?
Oh, yeah. 800 rushing yards for 17 games? Hell yeah.
Okay. So Davis over... okay, there's a lot of math. Okay, Davis over 800. Yeah, I actually like that one, right? Because he's the only guy they have there to really be the workhorse. And we know Arthur Smith wants to run the ball.
Yeah, who's going to get carries besides him? Like, if he's healthy, you know, this is the chance for him to have a career year.
I'm with you there. All right, let's get to the Panthers while I do some of this. Another team, man, I have not the slightest idea what to expect from the Carolina Panthers.
I actually have a read here. I like them as a team to go over their 7.5 wins. I'll get to that after we sort of run through this. But their total is 7.5, minus 115 for the over, minus 105 for the under, plus 900 to win the division, plus 210 to make the playoffs, and plus 200 to have a winning record, which is a bet I really like. The thing is, Jeff, like obviously Sam Darnold is... That is a tough one to be confident about, but... You look at the rest of their offense, maybe they're not great up front, but their specialists are unreal. Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and this Terrace Marshall kid who... Terrace Marshall would be starting on most of the teams that we've talked about today, and most, you know, a lot of other teams in the league. Last year, a few things went wrong for them. Obviously, some injury issues. They had a really brutal schedule. They lost a ton of close games. And they had red zone problems. They just could not stick it in the red zone. And that was partially Teddy Bridgewater. And it was partially not having Christian McCaffrey, who's just their go-to guy, obviously, in the red zone. If he's back and if he's anything close to what he is, I get that you're not a big running backs guy, Jeff. But he, in my opinion, is like has potential to be like an all-timer in a way that only a few others in the league, Derrick Henry being one of them, has a chance to be. So like put him in the mix. They're going to improve quite a bit. And the other thing, look, Darnold's, I don't think either of us think he's going to be great, but look at the Ryan Tannehill experience when he left an Adam Gase team. He went from under 500 quarterback to now he's 18-8 with Mike Vrabel as a starter in 2 years. So I just think that he's going to be better. They have enough around him to make him competent. Their defense has like a lot of interesting young players on it. They should get better. And this division, I don't like the Saints. We just talked about the Falcons. I think they can squeeze 9 wins out.
Well, they have to get over 7.5, because that's their win total, right, for
us. But plus 200 to have a winning record.
Well, so here's the wagers we already... And I get what you're saying about Carolina. I kind of have to see it before it happens. This is where the stats can be a little misleading, I think, sometimes. So last year, we hear this stat about, oh, they were bad in one-score games. Or Teddy Bridgewater was like 0-8 in one-score games. A couple of them were the defense giving up like 37 points, and then he gets a ball back with 8 seconds left, and he's supposed to go down the field and get a field goal. Like, it wasn't all Teddy Bridgewater's fault. We have no more money for this division. So here's what we have so far. Like, here's the discussion, right? Is if we're doing this for what we think we can win. Okay, we have Tom Brady, Bucks over 12. Okay, we have him $250. Kamara rushing and receiving over 1,505, right? We have that. We use 250 on that one. Matt Ryan over 4,450.5. Again, I mean, he has averaged over 260 yards for 8 of 9 years, okay? We put 250 on that one. We use the we use Davis rushing over 800 at minus 110 at $250. So those are the four wagers with our $1,000. Then we use the extra 250 from the other division on Tom Brady MVP and Pitt's tight end record. So which one of those are we taking away to do the over on a team we don't quite know what we're doing with it yet?
I'm fine passing. I like what we've got, and God, thank God we can end these two terrible divisions and get to next week with the two most fun divisions.
Which I believe is the West, correct, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, man. NFC West, best division, and AFC West, one of the most fun to spec out. It's going to be great.
I mean, it's a great episode, by the way. And the thing we've learned about this is I'm now a certified motivational speaker.
Yep.
Like, I am beyond excited that I can share my tweets to the world. And the one thing I never realized, Matt, is either is like my tweets do have reach. And I just never believe they do. Like it just always does surprise me still.
You're a media mogul, Jeff. Before we go, one last thing I want to ask about is Teddy Bridgewater was named the starter today in Denver over Drew Lock. What do you think of that?
I mean, he's the safer choice. He's going to not turn the ball over, and he's going to run the offense. But I mean, they need Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, like that's not going to do much for them this year. They should have drafted Justin Fields, right? Like they should have done that, but they didn't, and they're going to have to go this year with Bridgewater, and then probably spend some draft picks on a quarterback next year.
Yeah, I agree. That'll be.
You're in a division with you're the fourth best quarterback in that division. Carr's better than Bridgewater. Like you have to search far and wide to find a division where the fourth best quarterback is winning that division if there's not injuries, right? Like it's hard to find. I mean, we have Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Seattle Russell Wilson won last year, right? And then you have Ryan Tannehill and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Like, are we telling me that? I don't even know what team are you talking about now? I even forget. Is going to win? Teddy Bridgewater is going to come close to the winning division, making the playoffs? No.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They might have the fifth best quarterback in the division. You forgot about Mariota.
You're right. Yeah. So okay. But I get what they did, but that's a no for me. All right, everyone, really appreciate it. Glad you guys were able to join us. Our numbers are going great. It's glad to have football back, and we should have some news on the front of an actual sponsor for this podcast besides our beautiful voices. So, all right, everyone, have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.